And we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 549. And Olivia, we have a letter from Cascade Policy Institute that we'll give you the opportunity to respond to, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to point out to members, this is the issue that John Charles brought up on the meeting Wednesday about the salaries versus the benefits package of TriMet. There's another issue raised on the cover letter, but the two pages past the cover letter are the same. It's just the first page. The numbers are easier to read, so okay. They're the same document.
Thank you, Janet. Olivia.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Olivia Clark, the Executive Director of Government Relations for TriMet. I very much appreciate the opportunity to come up and respond. I just actually saw this letter this morning and did some quick checking. Normally, when you think about what a fringe benefit is, it's something other than what shows up on your W-2 form. Most governments and employers on their W-2, they list with your salary benefits like sick leave, vacation pay, jury duty pay, and a number of other things. Those are normally calculated as your wages. Well, unfortunately, the Federal Transit Administration does that differently and requires that transit properties calculate some of those things as fringe benefits. So that's why you see a higher number than you would normally expect as a fringe. In fact, they put that data in some national transit database, and they compare transit agencies, but not it's different than other local governments and other private sector businesses. So that fringe benefit number that you see in the letter includes sick leave, vacation leave, holiday pay, jury duty pay, and a few other things that would normally go into your salary. If you take those that I listed and you add them up, then the figure in the letter, the 65% drops down to about 39%. I had hoped to have some comparisons for you with other governments, but I don't. I apologize. But I think that explains the high percentage.
Thank you, Libby. Is there any questions on this? I don't see any. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Representative Mabry.
Mr. Chair, I would move that Senate Bill 549, I would move it to the Rules Committee with a due pass recommendation and rescind the referral to Revenue.
Representative Mabry moves that Senate Bill 549 be moved to the Rules and Public Affairs Committee with a due pass recommendation and rescind the referral to Revenue. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, why is it going to move?
To have a further life. If we be closing our committee, actually this will be our last formal committee, our last committee meeting dealing with these type of items. We'll then meet next Wednesday to deal with the our transportation package, and then we will be closed. If we send it on to rules, it'll have the opportunity to it'd be kept alive for the balance of the session. And
why can't we send it to the
because of some instructions we have that the bill to be dealt with further by leadership, and it'll give them the opportunity. It'll keep it alive. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, Ryan, will you call the roll, please?
Representative Gilman.
Aye.
Representative Greenlight.
Yes, aye.
Representative Mabry.
Aye.
Representative Zahner.
No.
Representative Beyer.
Aye.
Representative
Dinkfelder.
Aye.
Chair Brown.
Aye. Motion carries and referred to rules. Let's see, Senator Starr, not here yet. We'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 765. Janet, can you brief us on the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 765, and if you have, you should have the A engrossed version of the bill from the Senate. Just going to point out, starting at the end of the bill, Section 3 is a repeal of a sunset provision, and we made a copy of the at your place is a copy of Oregon laws from 1999, and a section that was passed by the 1999 legislature had a sunset date of January 1st, 2004, and that provision allows the Department of Transportation to pay for costs that are due to access changes that they require of a property owner to help defray some of the costs of a property owner of changing a driveway, something like that. The Department of Transportation is authorized under this temporary law to help defray some of those costs. If the Senate Bill 765A passes, that would the sunset would be repealed and that would become a permanent feature unless changed by a future legislature. So that's the one of the things the bill does. The other thing is that it puts into statute some criteria on reasonable, how the definition of a reasonable access that is currently in administrative rule, and that's in section end of section 1, which is on page 2. So those two criteria are put into statute. And this is for determining whether a person who wants access to a state highway or a county street or road, their alternative access is reasonable or not. Because if they have reasonable other access, the department can deny their access to the state highway. The department is here to explain the changes, and Senator Starr may be arriving shortly as well. This is Senator Starr's bill. There's no fiscal or revenue impact statement for this bill, and that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Janet. Bruce, please.
Do you have the A engrossed? Hmm? Do you have the A engrossed? Okay.
Yeah.
Ask Janet.
All right.
Just ask Janet. She'll get you a copy. She needs the A engrossed.
Do you have an A engrossed? I don't.
I do.
Thank you, John. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Bruce Warner, the director of the Oregon Department of Transportation. I want to thank you for the opportunity to comment on this bill and also thank Senator Starr for moving us forward with the amendments that you see before you this morning. Administrator Atkins did a very good job of describing the intent of this bill, and it's a good bill from our perspective because, as the first thing I want to stress, it does remove that sunset on that was a portion of Senate Bill 86 that was adopted by the legislature in 1999. And as I described in my discussion there in the second portion of my testimony you have before you, that legislation does give us the ability to help pay expenses for driveway relocations as a result of when we need to deal with unsafe or multiple accesses that need to be corrected for operational or safety issues. It's been a very, very good tool, and we want to see it remain, and this would allow this to continue. The second thing that this bill does is it does require us and counties to look at the uses of the property and the number and reasonableness of the types of accesses to state facilities and county roads in determining what is reasonable for the purposes of the development of that property. It's as the administrator outlined, that is currently in our administrative rule. It will remain in our administrative rule, and this just again codifies it into state law, and I think sets the very clear direction from the legislature that we need to look at that when we determine what is reasonable access. So Senate Bill 765 will give us good tools and give us continuation of the tool we currently have. So it's a good bill, and the department does support it. So with that, Mr. Chair, my members, I'd stop and see if there's any questions.
Thank you, Bruce. Senator Starr. The other Bruce.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Senator Bruce Starr, representing Senate District 15, Western Washington County, the communities of Hillsborough, Cornelius, Forest Grove, and North Plains. I appreciate the opportunity to testify briefly in support of Senate Bill 765. I just really echo the words of the director. I think this is clarifying language about access, and it's some of the things that the department's direction the department's already headed. I think it just puts those things in statute, make them clear, and then obviously repeals the sunset of a law that's really important for the department and for the public as it relates to paying the costs when a property owner needs to change access for safety or other reasons. I think it's a really relatively simple little bill. Urge you to support it and move it on through the process.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Greenlight, do you look like you're ready to ask a question?
I am, sir. I guess I'll ask either of the Bruces on this. On the new language that apparently came out of rules on in Section 1, the end of Section 1, on page 2, lines 8 through 13, I'm surprised that there's not a criterion that relates to the nature of the highway into which the access is being granted. Is that? I mean, should I not be surprised? Is that automatic? Is that somewhere else in the criterion? On the criteria,
Mr. Chairman, Representative Greenleaf, it's an excellent question. I'll try to first answer that and defer to the senator if he'd like to also comment. But when we look at access, the functional classification of the highway is very critically important in terms of spacing of driveways and again the types of access that we do allow. However, what this is saying, when you look at those, and again there's different standards for different functional classes, this is, I believe, saying we need to also take that in consideration in addition to the functional class. So we do currently take that all into consideration. This just makes clear we need to consider that, which we're already doing when we make the decisions.
Is Representative Dinkfelder.
Thank you. I was going to ask a similar type of question, just how this fits in with their access management policy. And I know you've been working actually on the rule. Maybe you can talk about that, Bruce. And then the other is, where does the funding come from when you're actually offsetting the cost for these landowners?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dinkfelder, two very good questions also. First off, the administrative rule, the previous legislature gave us direction to put an administrative rule together dealing with access management. We did do that. It's been in place now for a little over 2 years. We have determined in working with that that it needs to be improved to streamline it and make it easier for folks to administer, but also still get the same results of protecting the mobility and safety of our highway system. We actually have convened an advisory group, and they've just completed their work about 6 months ago. And our commission has looked at the work of that group along with recommendations for staff, and we're currently initiating rulemaking to make those changes. The language that you see here in this section that we were just talking about is very similar to what's in the rule that we have now. I think there's some minor changes we'll make through the rulemaking process to make a rule update process to make sure that the rule is entirely consistent with this law, and we expect that to be updated probably by the end of this calendar year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then the second part about the funding. Sorry, probably should have asked them separately.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dinkfelder, sorry, I forgot about that. Yes, any of the costs for dealing with relocations of driveways is an expense that comes out of the Highway Trust Fund. And that was one of the reasons that the sunset was there, was there was worry that this would be very expensive on an annual or biennial basis. And right now it's been very minimal. I think we're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 we've been expending on an annual basis to deal with these kind of issues. And I think it's been money well spent to correct and deal with relocations of driveways. So if I've answered your question, I'll stop there.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I don't see any. You know, just a comment that I think that you know, the concerns and complaints, if you want to call them that, that I receive mostly from the about the Department of Transportation are dealing with access, and whether it's the communication's not real good at the ground level with the people that are expressing their concerns about what's taking place with their access, or where the failure of the breakdown is, but. Sometimes, you know, the complaints I get from people is that they just I don't think they really understand thoroughly, and maybe the communication at that level needs to be better. But my biggest number of complaints are access and why the Department of Transportation is either taking it away from them or moving it. But sometimes I think there needs to be better communications at that level, and I'm sure that you probably see those by the jillions. And anyway, I see a lot of them. That seems to be my number one problem.
Mr. Chairman, if I could comment, I agree with you. I think that for my first couple of years on the job, those are probably the ones I heard most about, and I think I've talked with most of you on the committee about various access issues over that timeline. And I think it is a matter of communication. I think it was also a matter of we had an administrative rule which was very complex and not able to be digested by an average citizen trying to understand those things. And I think the changes that we're making are going to help us there. I would also point out that if you look at our record in terms of people who apply for accesses and the percentage of accesses approved, you'll find out that the vast majority of the access applications, we work with the property owner and come up with something that is acceptable to them. But there are a few, and those are the ones that we always hear about where they don't believe the access is reasonable, and those will continue to be there. I'm not going to kid you that that will still be an issue, but we're doing everything we can to make sure that we coordinate and communicate properly with property owners and citizens so they understand that the process, and if the answer is no, they understand the answer. And the other thing that we did do in our administrative rule as at the direction of the legislature is put in a very clear appeal process, and that has been used a few times, very limited, however, and it has resulted in some reversals of decisions to allow that, which is exactly what I think the legislation intended in 1999.
Thank you, Director.
Mr. Chair, and I can certainly testify to that. And Woodburn, our situation with Hilliard's, and that was a very, very volatile situation, and nobody was happy with it. And Bruce got on it, and Joan, and Bruce Starr also, and they have an access road in there, and ODOT's welcome anytime at Hilliard's for free coffee. I mean, he is just tickled to death because he was losing 30 to 40% of his business. People couldn't get out of there in the right direction, and I thank Bruce for that. The problem was there, and the people did complain, but when we complained, Bruce got it done, and I really appreciate that. I wanted to put that on the record.
Thank you, Representative. Any other questions? Let's see. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Mabry.
Mr. Chair, I would move.
I got it. We'll close the public hearing and open the work session. Representative Mabry.
Chair, I would move Senate Bill 765A to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Mabry moves Senate Bill 765A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
I'd love to put that on the consent
calendar. Ryan, will you call the roll, please?
Got to find out whether you have a unanimous vote.
That's right.
Representative Greenlake.
Aye.
Representative Mabry.
Aye.
Representative Zahner.
Aye.
Representative Byer.
Aye.
Representative Dingfelder.
Aye.
Representative Gilman.
Aye.
Chair Brown.
Aye. Motion carries.
There you go, Cliff. You have
I'd like to make a motion to put on a consent calendar unless you have more time you want to spend down in that chamber.
Representative Zahner moves that Senate Bill 765 be placed on the consent calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so done. And is there any other business? Committee, I want to, you know, that we have one more meeting, the grand finale next Wednesday, and I want to say that how much I've appreciated working with this committee, and it's a great crew, and hopefully we've done some good things for Oregon, and thank you for serving with me.
Be honest, Mr. Chair, what else could you say? I mean,
hey, it is. Anyone that would get up and do this old soft shoe when we're at that
and not done too many bad things.
Right. Yeah, we haven't screwed up too bad.
You've passed about 80 bills.
Oh, God. I hope we wouldn't get any through here.
And stopped a few.
We are recessed. We are adjourned.